We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, coming up here in the next few minutes, our buddy Scott Buttram will be on the line, publisher of the Trustful Tribune. The guy's always got some good, incisive commentary. He's even been my guest host several times. So, yeah, we'll have Scott Buttram on here after the top of the hour. I'm in a section we like to call home fries. I just cook them up. You can smell them cooking, man. So home fries is stuff that happens in and around and amongst us right here in Alabama, in our region. And here's a story from 1819 that I referenced briefly a moment ago. And I'll get Scott's take on this, too, when he comes back or when he comes on. But there's about to be the big adjournment sine die. That's the fancy legal name for it is finished or something like that, or no further action was necessary. But sine die is the final adjournment that closes the legislative session. The legislature in Alabama is a part-time gig, believe it or not, and they go into session once a year. They go in at a designated time, usually in the first couple of months of the year, right, sometimes in March. But they stay for basically a short period of time, and they tend to operate 2 to 3 days out of a week during that session. Generally speaking, it's because every one of them has other full-time jobs, and they can't be gone from their jobs for 3 months in a row. But they go into special sessions occasionally, but for the most part, the regular session is the only time they actually congregate for the purpose of passing the laws. Well, I've seen some pettiness. I spent 8 years down there. I've seen some pettiness. I've seen things happen like, you know, you're in the Senate, you're upstairs in the Senate chamber, and you're working to pass legislation, and you find out the House went ahead and adjourned and left. And now you can't transmit the bills to them, and they knew they did it on purpose so that you couldn't transmit the bills. Well, for the love of God, man, we're on the same team, right? Not really. There are times when just as many petty differences occur between Republicans as they do between Democrats and Republicans. And it's pretty galling. Right now, there's a story on 1819 News as a part of your home fries segment. It says a feud erupts between the House and the Senate. Both bodies refuse votes on the other's bills. This is how good legislation dies. Now, I will say this too. We used to always jokingly say bad things happen when love breaks out on the Senate floor. Meaning people quit debating. They just vote for it, man. Ah, I love you, man. I'll vote for your bill. No, don't do that. We're the deliberative body. You still got to debate this stuff. But it's altogether another thing when the House calendar has 30 bills on it and they won't vote on the Senate versions of anything. And then the Senate says, okay, then we won't vote on yours either. And then every time a Senate bill comes up, lawmakers go down to the House well and they move for the bill to be carried over. And there's no other reason except I didn't get my stuff upstairs, so I'm going to make sure they don't get their stuff downstairs. It's a good law, though. It's okay. I don't care. I want the one that has my name on it upstairs to get passed. And that's it. That pettiness. Is it real? Yes. Is it as bad as the article makes it out? Probably not, but it's still happening. And yeah, it's a problem. Anyway, we got good legislation that can die on the vine with that. We also have bad legislation that can luckily die on the vine, too, like gambling is almost out of the picture. But here's something you might want to know. Happens in your hometown home fries segment. Remember that whole thing about a week ago when, like, all of a sudden the world went, wait a minute, Alabama said what? Biden can't get on the ballot. What are you talking about? Yeah, so the Democrats, knowing full well what the law of our state is, to include also Ohio, by the way, flat out says, if you want to get on the ballot, you got to have us your certified candidates by a certain date. In our case, it's August 15th, because that's the amount of time our law requires it to be turned in so that we can have all the ballots printed and distributed across the state. Because they're not all the same. I mean, it's not like you have one ballot. The ballot for this county might be different from that county because you got local and state races on it too. And so the Democrats just hosed themselves. They didn't line up their calendar well. They don't even go to their convention to pick their nominee for president until 4 days after the deadline. So anyway, Alabama Senate approved a bill that would keep Joe Biden on the state ballot. There it is. It happened. I knew it would. A bill that would allow Joe Biden's name to appear on the Alabama ballot in November passed on the Senate floor Tuesday, according to the Alabama Reflector. Senate Bill 324, sponsored by Senator Marika Coleman, a Democrat from Pleasant Grove, would require parties to certify their candidates 74 as opposed to 82 days for an election. So basically, they carved out a single one-year exception. Okay. The bill passed unanimously without discussion. Okay. It's going to go to the House, and they're going to pass it without any trouble because it'll be sponsored by a Democrat, and they know they have to have it. Okay. Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed, a Republican from Jasper, said it was important that the bill move forward. He said, I think the idea that we have open and true and solid debate in the political process is something very important, not only in Alabama, but in America. I agree. I mean, it had to happen. I don't disagree with this. I mean, on the one hand, I look at it and go, they're trying to kick Trump off the ballot in other states. But we're going to go ahead and carve out an exception for them so they can feel better about their jacked up selves. Okay. Home fries. Alabama, we take care of business. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. And yeah, we are still doing what I like to call cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, man, you can just smell them. It's good stuff. All right, hey, listen, to make it all better, we're going to bring on a friend of mine who has always got the gift of gab. He is the grand poobah of publishing. He is the prince of punditry. He is from the Trustful Tribune, Scott Buttram. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Phil. How are you doing? I don't know if I can live up to all that, but I'm doing well.
is it not the best introduction you've ever had?
It is. It's number one. You went right to the top of the list.
Well, listen, hey, man, I gotta ask you, as we're cooking up some home fries here, I was just talking earlier in the show, right before you came on, about the just, and I know it happens because I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not near as big as the press makes it out to be. But it does seem like there's some dysfunction right now between the Republican State House and the Republican State Senate. Like, even to the point that yesterday the Speaker called a press conference to tell the world what he thought the Senate needs to do, which I thought was a novel way to handle it. Why don't you just call each other?
Well, here's the irony of this. Phil, if this session had adjourned, say, a week and a half ago, it would easily have been hailed as one of the most conservative and strongest sessions in Alabama state history.
Okay.
I mean, they got school choice. Yeah. They did away with DEI, did away with ballot harvesting. I mean, just such a positive session. If you are a conservative living in Alabama, and the majority of people living in Alabama are conservative.
Yeah.
So they could have adjourned, gone to die, gone home, and just patted themselves on the back for an entire year. They've hung out just long enough to make us wonder if they're going to actually pass something that turns this into the worst session in state history. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. I don't think, I'm not going to say they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I'm not sure any of them have a clear path on where they want to go or how they're going to get there on some of these issues coming up. And some of these issues, like the increasing the online sales tax.
Oh, my gosh.
To sell us on, that's because conservative business owners want it to be, so brick and mortar will be on a level playing field. I offered to interview any of those business owners who would like to go on the record and explain to our audience how raising their taxes is going to make for a level playing field between online sales and brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And of course, we found out it was the Big Ten mayors who were behind all of that.
Yeah, the Big Ten mayors. So the 10 largest cities in the state, referred to as the Big Ten, are lobbying to raise online sales taxes.
Of which they will get 65% going to the city.
Yeah. Yeah, because
that's written in the law that they will get 2/3 for their 10 cities. The premise is, well, they're the big cities, they supply jobs. They also supply all the crime. And in the city of Birmingham, they are one-third of the population of Jefferson County, but they're accounting for 90% of the homicides in Jefferson County. And they're so serious about fighting crime, they literally let their city jail get condemned. They're letting it collapse. Oh, they forced all of their prisoners on the county. And we're going to give them two-thirds of the money? And these are Republicans, by the way. We only had two Republicans on the committee voted against it. The rest of which included the Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the Education Ways and Means Committee, they all voted for it.
I look at this and think that's the nuttiest thing I've ever heard. And oh, by the way, saying that brick and mortar stores need it. Where do they think brick and mortar stores get the supplies and things that they sell? And a lot of them order it online.
Of course. Listen. When there was no tax on online items, that's significant. We pay 10% sales tax here in Trustful.
Yeah.
So paying 0, 10% savings, that's worth looking at. But that's not the case. It hasn't been the case for years. And now we're down to 1.25%. That's not going to change the fate of brick-and-mortar stores. It's just not. If you want to survive as a brick-and-mortar, offer a service or goods that people can't get online. And there are ways, I mean, restaurants and bars do it every day. There's probably others out there that are doing it.
Yeah, and the reality is, in a down economy like we're in right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like
19% inflation.
Is there a good time to raise taxes? I would say no, but there can be a worse time to raise taxes. And the worst time to raise taxes is when everybody's already hurting. That's like saying, hey, we're gonna not only make you, you know, limp on that bad knee, we're going to kick the other knee too. That's what they're doing.
That's right. And here's another side of it. There are cities, counties, communities that have a real need. We're dealing with an issue right now in Trustful. We are about to have to talk about raising property taxes. Otherwise, we're going to be surrounding schools with portables because we're growing so fast here. And so, you know, you want them competing with a frivolous sales tax hike that is unnecessary, unneeded, and you're really doing it to appease 10 people? I don't understand.
It's not 10 people. They represent a lot of people. They're the mayors of the Big Ten. You said something on Twitter this morning about we need to rename the Big Ten to something else. What was it you said? I don't even remember.
I'm open for names.
Oh, you were fishing for names. Okay.
Yeah. So we need a new name for this group. I mean, now, if it were me, it would be the Alabama Costa Nostra. because you got 10 crime families. Or 10 families, we won't call them crime families, 10 families, and then they go to the people who, you know, the government, who's supposed to be overseeing them, and they have them do their bidding for them. And I don't know. It just looks like a typical mafia setup to me.
Unbelievable. Well,
unbelievable.
It is very unbelievable. Hey, let me ask you, let's switch gears real quick. There's a major fight right now. Yellowhammer's got a story on it today about the unionization of plants in Alabama. So we've got, they just unionized Volkswagen up in Chattanooga. I'm sitting right now, here looking out the window at beautiful Etowah County. But I distinctly remember when we had Goodyear and Gulf State Steel, both were just churning away and employing thousands of people, and they're both gone.
Oh, yeah. The skeletons of union manufacturing are all over the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
Decaying, caving in. Used to have hundreds, thousands of workers, and unions one by one took them out of the state, and they're gone. We've got generations of union interference that has cost us jobs and businesses. Right now, you've got the union leader, I can't remember his name, he was in the news yesterday, calling the governor and state leaders puppets for the corporate world and all this stuff. Those are the same people who put up millions of dollars to get Mercedes, Hyundai, Honda, all these people into the state of Alabama, and they did it for one reason and one reason only: the jobs that they brought for the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And now these people are telling those people who landed those jobs, those Alabamians who got those jobs, These people who spent millions to get you this job, they're horrible people. And now they're going to they want to go talk to their bosses and demand raises. Phil, if people are paying attention, if the workers are paying attention, you don't have to look far to find the truth about unions in Alabama. Just go ask your granddaddy. Go ask your mother. Yep. They'll tell you the stories. But you're seeing these people in the media right now and how horrible they talk to and about people. You want to think twice before you ask them to go represent you to the guy who determines your paycheck and the hours you work.
No kidding, man. I mean, and you're right. I love the way you said it. The skeletons of unionization are all over. Like I grew up, you know, the steel plants in Fairfield and all over Jefferson County. My granddaddy was a steel worker, and it's all gone. Every bit of it's gone.
Right.
Never to return.
Gulf States Paper for me in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
We huge paper mill. The owner of the company was Jack Warner, lived there in Tuscaloosa, wanted to keep that open. He had interest all over the Southeast, but that was his hometown. Had to shut it down due to the unions. And it just sat there in the union graveyard like the rest of the state.
Hey, let me ask you something. Scotty, can you hang on through the break and keep this conversation going a few more minutes?
Sure, I can run my mouth as long as you want.
Well, you are the prince of punditry in the grand poobah of publishing. So, all right, hang on. We're with Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune. We're going to come right back and cook up a little more batch of home fries. I got some questions about possible Medicaid expansion. Holy crap. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, going right back to the phones right now with our friend Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune, cooking up a batch of home fries together. Hey, Scott, let me ask you something, man. There's a story on Alabama Daily News today that the House Joint Health Committee, actually it's a Joint Health Committee, House and Senate, is actually hearing from lawmakers in other states about how they successfully navigated the Medicaid expansion in their states. What is happening with Medicaid expansion?
Well, they've been playing footsies with the Democrats over it the entire session.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I hear stuff, and we know that has been talked about behind the scenes. And that's exactly what we were talking about before the break, Bill. This supermajority Republican House and Senate, I mean, they were in a position to take the win and go home.
Yeah.
Since spring break, really, everything has been about Democrat causes. Now, let's think about the Alabama Democrats in this state. And remind our listeners again, we have a supermajority Republican Senate, supermajority Republican House. They don't need the Democrats for anything if they're unified. They don't need them for anything. But every session we see this. They come in to every session with this desire to appease the Democrats and to give them something that they want. The same people who have spent every single minute in session for the last 10 years openly calling Republicans racist, bigots, every name but a child of God from the floor of the House and from the floor of the Senate. Why do these Republicans feel any need to provide anything for that group of people?
I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, I recognize that every once in a while you want to throw somebody a bone because as much as you might yell at each other in public, you're still shaking hands behind the scenes. And
there's things we can agree on. There are things we can agree on.
Anthony Daniels is a staunch Democrat, but he's the one who also had the overtime tax bill that I thought was great. So I can see it. Right. But here's the thing. Part of my concern, though, is they're doing this in part because they want it too. And that's what bothers me is I'm looking at a Republican supermajority might not be just kowtowing to Democrats. They might be saying, we kind of want Medicaid expansion ourselves.
All right. But right now, they're talking about Obamacare expansion. Now, let's call that what it is. They're talking about that.
Yep.
They have got a bill up to water down bail requirements. And let me tell you where that is going to hurt the most. It's going to hurt the most in places like Jefferson County, where we have an entirely Democrat judicial system here, entirely Democrat. Despite the fact that there are a lot of Republican cities in Jefferson County, there's enough Democrats that they control the judiciary. They are plea bargaining everybody. They are letting people out without bail. This will make it easier for them to do it. They're putting criminals on the street left and right in Jefferson County. Why would Republicans okay that?
Yeah.
Why would they help make these things happen? These are decidedly Democrat issues that members of our Republican supermajority are going along with. And you're right. Some of them want it too. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what, man, with just a couple minutes left here before we hit the end of our segment together, going to the federal side. So the U.S. delegation for our House delegation from Alabama was very split on support for the Ukraine aid package, which
right.
then transcended into what just happened in the U.S. Senate when our two senators, Tommy Tuberville and Katie Britt, they were split on whether to send right. aid to Ukraine. Tuberville voted against it, called it a slap in the face to Americans, and Britt was for it and apparently voted to support it. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with Senator Tuberville. I'm hedging what I'm saying a little bit here, Phil, because I do think we need to support Ukraine against Russia. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we can continue to pour billions of dollars into a foreign country with no accountability and nothing to be done on our border. That's important. So I would have voted no. I think the Republicans at some point are going to have to take a stand in order to get the southern border shut down, and they just don't seem willing to do it. I would rather have seen Senator Britt vote with Senator Tuberville and vote no on that package.
Yeah, and I don't recall them being split on something major up to now. I mean, maybe they were at some point,
there may have been one other vote where they went different ways, but I think it was kind of a minor non-issue matter. But, I was disappointed to see Senator Britt go that way.
All right. Well, Scott Buttram, the grand poobah of publishing, the prince of punditry, and with the Trustful Tribune, man, I appreciate you. Thanks always for coming on, okay?
Absolutely, Phil. Thank you for having me on, and thanks for all you're doing up there, man.
All right, buddy. See you soon. That's a great subject. We'll come right back. I'll wrap this up. I've got a couple more things you might want to know about. Stuff happening with your lawmakers, with things happening in and around your state. And oh, by the way, what's going on with that gambling bill and who just came out and said don't do it? We'll tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I will tell you who also covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics. They cover a lot of ground in North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area, adding more, I believe, as we speak. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, all their locations, open 7 days a week. And they will see all ages. And folks, listen, pediatric to geriatric, they'll see them all. But this is who I use personally. And I mean that with all sincerity. And I do not use them because they advertise. I was already using them, pleased with the cleanliness, the friendliness, the professionalism. And I just went to them and said, I would brag on this. I would. And they said, you know what? Okay. So here they are. And we're glad to have them. Southern Immediate Care. Listen, if you need medical attention, I mean, I'm talking even on a Saturday morning. You just look up the location nearest to you and you head on down there. And while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'd appreciate that. All right. We are doing what we like to call cooking up a whole batch of home fries right now. Yeah. Man, just smelling them. So here's one for you. You remember the discussion about whether we were going to have expansion of gambling in the state of Alabama, which was the the just weirdest set of facts and non-facts ever jammed together into a political issue. The Alabama State House saw nothing more important at all this session. Nothing. I mean, they put aside every bit of business at the beginning of the session to ram this thing through the House and send it upstairs to the Senate, where it quickly calmed down. And the version they sent upstairs to the Senate was just the grossest distortion of everything that Republicans say they don't stand for. They were not only going to legalize the expansion of casino gaming and all the things that come along with it, they were going to provide monopolies, they were going to grow government, they were going to raise taxes. And listen, at some point you have to look at it and go, don't pretend you're trying to regulate people that are breaking the law, because we already have laws. That in itself is a regulation. How about you just enforce existing law? Quit trying to cop out by saying, well, we gotta stop the bad actors, when your bill is going to give the bad actors what they've been wanting for years anyway. Well, that bill appears to have withered and maybe died, but we got a few days left and all we can do is hope, because I don't care if you like gaming, this bill is awful. If this bill was about grocery stores or ice cream trucks, it would be an awful piece of legislation because of the way they do it. All right, that being said, we have a new ally in the fight against this legislation, the Well House. I don't know if you saw this or not. Story came out yesterday on 1819 News. The Well House, which is a human trafficking group out of Birmingham, they've been doing amazing work for like over 12 years, actually, I think, working in human trafficking, victim support, trying to do things to work on creating an environment, a safe environment for people who have been trafficked. And they came out and literally said yesterday they are absolutely opposed to this legislation because they believe that anywhere there are casinos, you see an increase in human trafficking. Go figure. Pretty unseemly, huh? I mean, wow. But the Well House, here's a quote from Carolyn Potter, who's the CEO of Well House. She says, "The Well House is a safe haven for female victims of human sex trafficking. We provide opportunities for restoration to female victims of human trafficking who have been sexually exploited through our emergency short-term and long-term care programs, and our mission is simple, restore. And we've been fighting the vile, egregious crime of human sex trafficking since 2011. Not only do we have firsthand accounts, we are also aware of data that leaves no doubt of the strong correlation between human trafficking and casinos and gambling. Even though it may not be welcomed by the owners and the operators, it's still a reality. Adding additional casinos in our state will invite not only these activities, but also others that powerfully affect victims." And they go on to talk about the high rates of drug and alcohol abuse that associate with the casinos too. That's an important piece, because thus far, the people who are the proponents of the bill have been trying to portray this as a moralistic argument, or you just don't want the tax revenue, or we've got to do something to, you know, regulate and push back on crime. And yet the people at the Well House are saying, you're going to increase crime. And we have the data and the anecdotal evidence to prove it. And they know. They work with the victims every day. So anyway, thank you to the Well House for speaking up. And there's other groups in the state who I wish would follow suit and speak up about something they know for a fact is not good for our state. Let's see, what else I got here? There's a bill that just passed. They got one done, and it was an important one. You know, Scott Buttram was so right. He said if they went home already, they could just have called this a successful session. They could. The Alabama legislature is only constitutionally mandated to do one thing, pass the budgets. They could come to Montgomery, pass the budgets, and adjourn. There's no requirement for them to stay in for the full amount of time. They could say, yep, we're here. You got the budget ready? Yeah, we like that one. Okay, all in favor, say aye, and they vote, and then they all say, okay, let's adjourn, sine die, you know, and you're there for a total of 5 days. But they won't. They got other things to do. I get it. One of the things they just did, Yellowhammer News has the story. State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur carried a bill that was also sponsored in the House by Majority Leader Brett Stouthagen from Hartzell. Senate Bill 231 gives the employees the opportunity to vote for possible unionization on a private ballot. In other words, you can't hand somebody your card and they can see how you voted and then take it out on you later because they think you weren't the union guy. Because that happens. It's intimidating. You don't want somebody, you want to be able to vote in secret. That's important. But then here's the other thing. It also deals with incentives. Any business that receives incentives, it said, doesn't specify how you receive it. If you do receive it, you have to let your employees vote on the ballot. In other words, what you don't want to see happen is this. State of Alabama, a right-to-work state, and right-to-work is embedded in our Constitution, by the way. I know because I was there and helped pass it. State of Alabama is a right-to-work state. If we provide incentives to a business and that business just rolls over and goes, we're just going to go ahead and say unionize, fellas, y'all have at it, then the state of Alabama is going to take back your incentives. They're going to make you pay it back because you've just done something that we believe jeopardizes the ability of our state to grow that business, to help that business grow. So that's very cool. It's going to the governor for signature because it was a Senate bill that now passed the House. That means they're done with it. And it is going all the way across the street and it's going to get signed off by the governor, I'm sure. And it goes straight to the fact that the United Auto Workers are trying to unionize the manufacturing plants here in the state and basically, you know, put the kibosh on growth for jobs in Alabama. What else have I got here? And I'll finish this up. I told you about Tuberville and Britt being split on their aid to Ukraine. I told you about House Bill 130 already. I think I may have covered my stack, man. That may be all of my home fries. What am I going to do? Hang on a second. Let me check.
We got backup plan, don't we?
I got plenty of stuff. Yeah, I got a whole other dipper I didn't get to, which I'm not going to today.
We also got the woke dictionary.
If I ever have to go back to fill time, I can do that. And let me get a few text messages, though, because they have indeed been piling up. Gary from Decatur says, here we go. Just praised Katie Britt a day ago, and now I find out she voted for that terrible bill. It would seem that insider politics are alive and well in D.C., Gary, I will say this. She voted her conscience, I guess. And I don't know why she chose to support this one, but she did. But it's a clear indication right now that we have split Republicans on this issue. Because even of our two senators, it went, 50-50 there. Well, I guess all it really could do is go 100% or 50-50. But nonetheless, don't write her off. She's done some good stuff so far, but I disagree with that vote. Becky from Shelby County says, Phil, sounds like our House and Senate has actual Democrats who just call themselves Republicans. Becky, you nailed it. Give her some applause, man. She earned that one. Yes, they are there and they are in force. Thank you, Becky. John from Huntsville says, Phil, keep up the good work. And Scott, there's a good chance you'll receive an A triple plus. And then he said, Phil, did I hear right that my favorite guest host, Scott Buttram's coming on? Yes, you did. Oh, I'm reading that text late. Okay. Yeah, Scott, he was here. John, he was here. What do we got? Robbie from Aniana giving us some heads up on the signal out of Birmingham. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Mike from Athens sent me a meme. What? And pray tell is this. Oh, this is the one about Biden. Yes. We may have to pay that audio again, by the way. I'm looking at Big Rig. Bob from Athens says it doesn't really matter if any Democrats, if it doesn't really matter, let me rephrase, does it really matter if any Democrat presidential is or isn't on the Alabama ballot? Well, it's a red state. They're not going to win. They won't get the electoral votes. At the same time, don't forget, we are the state that because of Richard Shelby dissing on Roy Moore, wound up having a U.S. senator named Doug Jones for a period of time. So stuff happens. Don't take it all for granted. Glenn from Bluntsville says, sounds like some of these Republicans are talking about are rhinos, the R-I-N-O type. Yes, indeed. Brand new in the text line, Chris from Huntsville. Chris, we're glad you're here. He says, Jimmy Carter is nearing 100 years old. If that's any indication of how long bad presidents will live, Biden and Obama could reach Old Testament level ages. That's true. A couple more. Thomas from Athens says, maybe we need a library. Where'd it go? Hey, it says Big Rig. Not okay. This is hang on a second. Am I looking at? It's like I've got two texts from the same. I see it here. Maybe we need a library section ratings like the movies. That's what he's saying. I got it. Thank you, man. Sorry about that. Apparently my online dyslexia was kicking in. Bud from Danville. We'd like to get Biden to come to our town hall meeting. We'd like to know more about what it was like when he grew up around Danville. I feel certain he was raised in Danville at some point. I tell you what we'll do. When we come right back, for those of y'all that missed it, we have an audio clip of all the times that Biden says he was raised somewhere or by somebody or in some kind of environment. And it's a hoot, man. And we'll play it for you again when we get back from this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we got a phone call from Roughly Ann just a minute ago. And she said that she didn't think her text messages were getting through. So we actually went into the system. And Roughly Ann, I'm going to apologize. I do not know why this would be, but it showed that your name had been unsubscribed from the system for what I think sometimes our system kicks people out for things. You know, who knows? But anyway, Roughly Ann, text again now, and I'll give you the thumbs up if it comes through. 833-687-4448. But we got you back in the system now, and you should not be blocked. And I don't know why you would have been. In fact, I looked at several now and thought, why is that on that list? Well, anyway, there's that. Get that audio clip ready, man. I'm going to want to play that again in a minute. Okay. I will make an announcement, though, real quick for those of y'all that are in go-home mode. Listen, so Right Side Media, which is the company that owns Right Side Radio, we do a lot of stuff. So we take the show every day, 3 hours a day, live, and then we take that and we podcast it. That's gotten like over 200 and we're close to 220,000 downloads now. And then on top of that, write an op-ed that gets published in news outlets all over the state every week. And then on top of that, this week, we just rolled out our brand new video podcast. So this one is the first in a series of podcasts that we're about to start putting out some more conservative content on, but pretty stoked about it. It's called The Right Philosophy. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. Go on the podcast tab. You'll find The Right Philosophy as one of your options. And I just encourage you, check it out. Picture the kind of things like I do with my monologues every day. But this case, it's video. It's me at my house. And I'm really excited about it. So we just uploaded the fourth one today. So there's four separate different versions of the Right Philosophy podcast available for you at rightsideradio.org. All right. Hey, listen, earlier in the show, we did a segment that was pretty spot on. If you didn't hear it, it was called Who Is He Today? And I talked about the fact that Joe Biden has said so many things that make no sense about his own heritage, his own belief systems, his own whatever. I mean, the bottom line is whoever he's talking to at the time is who he identifies with. And it's because he has an insatiable need to be liked. He does. That's what it boils down to. His identity is vested in being an elected official. And if you don't elect him, he doesn't feel liked. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And it's clear when he gives his speeches and he says things that you know are not even based in reality. But he says them anyway because he needs to be liked by the audience. And he wants them to like him so bad, so insecure. But we have an audio clip. And it's hilarious, actually. It's sad, but it's hilarious. Somebody put together all the different times, maybe not all of them, that Joe Biden said he was raised here, grew up there, was, you know, educated there. Go ahead and play it, Big Rig.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real. I am Joe Bidenopoulos. I grew up in a heavily Irish Catholic community in Scranton, Pennsylvania, in a heavily Italian Polish community.
When I say I got raised in the black church, he knows I'm not kidding.
The Persian culture is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture,
I probably went to shul more than many of you.
I come out of the black community.
The background of my family is Irish American, not fundamentally unlike the Palestinian people.
I raised in synagogues in my state.
Everyone in town was either Polish or Italian. I grew up feeling self-conscious. My name didn't end in an SKI.
I was raised in a neighborhood where I felt self-conscious. My name didn't end in O.
That's kind of how I was raised, like so many Americans of
Irish heritage.
In HBCU, in your home state, Mr. President.
Let me tell you, forget about it. That's right. That's where I got raised, man.
Just like rabbis, synagogues, and Jewish community centers in your hometown, and that's the tradition I got raised.
Hardworking people, the middle class, the neighborhoods I got raised in.
I was raised on GM.
I was raised by Danny Noe.
I was raised by a righteous Christian.
I got raised on automobiles.
That is hilarious. I mean, apparently all God's children raised Joe Biden. It's just like, this is insatiable need to identify with his audience is really just pandering is what it is. Pandering because he just needs to be liked so bad he can hardly stand it. Which one was your favorite, you said?
The one where he's talking about his name didn't end in S-K-I. Oh, and then the, was it Bidenopolis?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Bidenopolis. Yeah,
Bidenopolis.
My name's Joe Bidenopolis. Oh, my gosh. Hey, by the way, I got the text in from Ruffly Ann, so we're back on track. And now we know how, if somebody says, listen, if you think your texts aren't getting through, you just call in, tell Big Rig, we'll double-check the system and see if for any reason you've been blocked. But Ruffly Ann, you are here, girl. And we're glad of it. All right, listen, it's been an amazing day. We covered some stuff. Tomorrow's going to be another equally amazing day. Every single day on this show, man, I'm serious when I say it. We do not come in here and sit and talk in this microphone so that we can just waste our time or hear ourselves talk. We're here because of y'all. There's no other reason why this show is successful except for y'all. And so every single day, listen, it's the mission and the message for me. The mission is that we're going to do what I call the four E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative in today's world. But the mission is driven by the message. Every single day, I hope you figure out that this show stands for Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and life's worth living. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you tomorrow.